Hello and welcome to Movie Theater Time Machine, the podcast where we keep it real to real. And today we continue with Studio Ghibli's masterpiece here, the Princess Mononoke.
Another one that I hadn't seen until literally yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw it once in like college or high school and I was just like,
Like I've seen little bits and pieces here and there, like, you know, through the whole cultural osmosis sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I've never actually watched it until yesterday.
The last time I watched it was probably like 20 years ago.
I would say it's about the same for me.
Yeah.
Like, I remembered things like the big wild boar running, you know, running down the hill and things like that. I also remembered, and one thing is, like, I love doing the show because it unlocks silly memories sometimes.
Yeah.
And I remember in high school, I was this kid who got to be friends with the janitors.
Okay.
And I got to be friends with this guy, and I won't say his name because he possibly listens to the show, and I don't know if he's even alive anymore.
We broadcast to the afterlife.
Yeah, so wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah,
but it happened there. It's so.
Like, for every, like, four spectral listeners, it counts as, like, one download.
I really don't want my mom to listen to this show.
So I was being friends with this janitor, and he's like, hey, man. And he used to, like, make these random CDs for people.
Okay.
And, you know, he made this. You remember the band Dream Theater?
Yep.
You know, as I introduced.
I saw them three times.
I introduced Kaz's dad to him. And it's like,
sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's the really wild instrumentals and really bizarre stuff.
Their experience. Let's just put it that way. Right, so I have a cousin who actually went on tour with, like, she did one of those, like, follow the band cross country.
Oh, God, wow.
I have a cousin who did that.
Dang.
So, for Dream Theater specifically. And, so, yes.
And, you know, this janitor is just like, hey, man, I made you a CD, man. You're going to love this, bro. And by the way, when you listen to it, you're going to listen to it with your headphones on, like back in your bed. You're going to feel like you're on the Starship Enterprise.
Oh,
and by the way.
I never had that experience.
Yeah. And by the way, have you ever seen Princess Mononoke? Whoa.
This dude is
like
so
he went
nervous.
Into the back
this
of like
is going in directions.
Yeah, like he went to the back of the janitor's closet, the like hangout area, and he's like, look at this. It's cool.
This is anime.
Yeah.
Like, you got introduced to anime in the boiler room at the school. It's just like, well, that's about right.
Yeah. And I unlocked that memory and I was like, what the heck? And I'm like, what happened here? And what happened here? And then I remembered with some of the themes of the movie and getting to know the dude, and I'm really trying very careful not to say his name. And I'm like, really getting to know the guy as much as I did. I'm like, a lot of things make sense now. Yeah.
A bit of a hippie. Humans are trash.
Humans garbage. And then, you know, wait a minute. What about Iron Town? No, there's the old hookers that are just gonna help keep the fire
going. Dude, you know, they're the best part of this movie.
Yeah!
They're funny as hell!
They're
funny as hell!
The leads have, like, no personality.
No.
They're just kind of there.
I liked him
Ashitaka.
A little bit more than Ashitaka. Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah.
He has a name.
But he doesn't emote. No,
no,
he doesn't. Well, okay, that I think has a lot to do. I could go deep if you wanted me to and go into, like, he's the prince of his, of what's left of a tribe that everybody assumes is gone.
And it seems, at the beginning, it seems like the tribe is very, very, very stoic.
They're very stoic, very secretive. You know, they're basically living out on their own, not really getting involved with anybody else. So him having that type of personality makes sense. Because he's supposed to be, or at least eventually going to be, the leader.
But he's bland as dishwater.
Not anymore. No, not the first 10 minutes of the movie. Fuck that all up for him.
Right.
That's since he got all gooed up.
Why do these movies allow their royalty to, like, fuck off and do action stuff?
I mean, it's kind of the same idea as, like, Star Trek. Like, why is the captain beaming down with the away team?
Yeah.
You've never read webtoons.
Yeah.
It's a genre convention.
Well, yeah, like, I understand that. It's just, like, I wonder if realistically, like,
would the king actually lead the charge?
No, he'd be way in the back.
No,
but he'd be
deal.
Like, hey,
he would,
go.
They would make him go. In, like, full armor that wasn't actually armor, that was, like...
Oh, those fancy...
It was ceremonial armor. And he would lead the charge, meaning he would be out there at the front for about 5 minutes, say some sort of speech, and then his advisors would pull him all the way to the back.
He's effectively throwing the first pitch.
Yeah, he's basically, like...
He's singing the national anthem.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. He realizes halfway through he doesn't know the whole national anthem.
If we're going webtoon logic, what they would do is they would give this, they put the decree out, and then they would have the Duke of the North go and be in charge, because the Duke of the North always is at war for like 5 years.
Are they always from the North?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're always from the North. They're always, their area is always in the mountains, and it's always cold and snowing, and they're all black-haired and red-eyed, and... They all are, like, super stoic, and they're either, like, 100% virgins or the biggest man whore on the planet. It goes one of two ways. There's never a middle. I have read hundreds and hundreds of
books. Damn.
Yes, she has.
Trust me.
Listener, yes, she has.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Damn.
And she's told me about hundreds and hundreds of that.
Now... This movie's, like, English dub actors is kind of all over the freaking place.
Seriously, it really is.
Yeah.
I just love that the first line of dialogue we hear is from my space dad.
Yeah.
Keith David.
Yeah.
Oh, the narrator,
who played Admiral Anderson.
I was
in Mass Effect. He's my space dad.
It took me half a second because I was like, Is that Keith David?
It's like, wow, that sounds... They're going for a real Keith David, and I'm over there like, I think it is Keith David.
Yeah. And I've got to do a due diligence. If you look up the episode of Community where they parody all the Ken Burns episodes and documentaries, the Pillow Fort episode,
I think I've seen bits of that.
Oh, Keith David does the narration and just...
I love this man so much.
For those of you who aren't sure who we're talking about, remember the old Navy commercials?
Yeah.
He has the real deep voice. He plays, he's also Captain Anderson, later Admiral Anderson.
In Mass Effect.
Did he show up in, crap.
He's been in everything.
He was in almost everything.
Game?
He was in The Thing.
He was in The Thing.
He was in The Thing, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm talking about a game, like, with the aliens and the gang leader's now president.
Saints Row.
He's in Saints Row as Keith David.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and also, he fought Roddy Piper.
Yep.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, and they live.
Isn't he also in Saints Row?
Yeah.
Four.
Roddy Piper is?
I don't know.
Yeah, Roddy Piper.
I think I thought he was dead by then.
No, they live. No.
No.
Not in Saints Row.
We're on two different things.
Yeah.
Was it Tom Selleck that was the mayor in Saints Row 3?
I don't know.
No, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds. Because the line is...
mustache guy, right?
Yeah. Because your boss walks into the room and goes, Burt fucking Reynolds?
Yeah. And because it's obligated, I have to play the bit from Community with the most confusing battlefield of Greendale.
The North Cafeteria, named after Admiral William North, is located in the western portion of East Hall, gateway to the western half of North Hall, which is named not after William North, but for its position above the South Wall. It is the most contested and confusing battlefield on Greendale's campus, next to the English Memorial Spanish Center, named after English Memorial, a Portuguese sailor that discovered Greendale while looking for a fountain that cured syphilis.
I mean, that's what most lore dumps in games sound like to me. It's like, blah, 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 words. Okay, what, something happened?
What are you saying?
No, just every time I hear Keith David, I immediately hear that passage.
Which is understandable.
Every single time.
I just hear him yelling at me as I'm Shepherd.
Yeah.
He's right. What the hell did I do now that pissed you off so bad there, Dad?
Yes. Now, there's some of the others
here. I'm proud of you, kid. Yeah. Like, if you're Femme Shep, he says kid, right?
Yeah.
If you're Male Shep, he calls you son.
Yeah. Now, some of the others here, like, there's Billy Crudup, who plays Ashitaka.
You have seen the movie Sleepers.
Yes, that was his first movie.
He's in Sleepers. Yes. And I was like, as soon as I saw his face, I was like, holy shit, it's that guy.
Yeah, he's in Sleepers, and that's the one I watched that movie with my grandma.
Why?
And because because it had Robert De Niro as a priest and she was a crazy Catholic.
Oh my god.
And she said, this is gonna be good. And we both watched it. We're like, what the hell did we watch? And we just went to the other sides of the house and didn't speak to each other for a while.
The movie was bad.
Yeah.
Read the book.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's one of the tougher ones here.
That movie sticks with you.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got Brad Pitt in it too. It's got.
Yeah.
I can't remember his guy, but he's got blue eyes.
Mm.
Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon in that movie.
Yeah,
fuck Kevin Bacon in that movie.
Yeah, watching it and we're like, what the heck? And we couldn't look away and we're like, what is going on?
There's one scene where he shows up where he says something.
Yeah.
And I literally paused the movie the first time I watched it and was like, did he just say what I thought he said? I rewound it because this was a VHS.
Yeah.
I rewound it, hit play again, listened, and I went, he did just tell that kid to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Be thankful in bliss.
Be thankful because it's a very, very,
it's a
very
disturbing movie.
So are we still talking about voice acting?
Yes.
I wanted to pose a question, but that's related to. The idea of the info dump. Do you think an info dump in a movie like this is acceptable or unnecessary? Because it
depends on the information.
I think we can glean that this is an ancient time and there's like demons and shit.
It's not though. It's actually based, not ancient, it's old, but it's
14th century.
It's like 14th century.
It's like the post samurai era, because samurai at this point seem to be, at least in this movie, mostly mercenaries.
It's during, I think, the time where samurai were becoming illegal, like it was illegal to carry a sword in public unless you were a police officer.
And just before Japan opened up.
Yeah.
So that was the...
And I'm going to fully admit...
19th century, was it?
No.
No, 1600s.
Oh, okay, but then they closed again and then opened again.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
The West did have a massive influence for a little while, anyway, especially during the Meiji era.
Yeah,
I
hear that.
Yeah, so a couple of others just to go through. Yes.
I thought the narration said it was like an ancient time or something.
I think they were. Yeah. I think that's actually more of an American thing they were trying to. Because you got to remember, you got to do like nuance for your audience.
Yeah.
So
fair point.
If you're in Japan, they might have said like, this is taking place during this particular era, and they would know it.
Era. And I'll admit, I don't know very much at all about Japanese
this is during
history.
They're calling it the Muromachi period, so I'm assuming they would say during the Muromachi period in Japanese, in American, they're not gonna. We're not. Do you know what the Muromachi period is?
No,
I don't either.
No.
So
ask an average Japanese person, like, okay, when were the cowboy times?
Right,
they'd be like last month. I don't know.
Didn't they play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
like you know,
it's not. It's like outside of the culture that it's endemic.
That's
to,
what I'm saying.
We're not gonna know.
That's why they probably went ancient times for us.
Right,
and I just figured it was probably set in a fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's riding a deer.
Okay, there's a lot of fantasy aspects of this, but I guess
monster.
I guess the time period is real.
Oh, okay.
But we're supposed to have the suspension of disbelief that this is before industrialization is coming in.
Cusp of industrialization.
Right.
Because of Irontown.
But, they even mentioned in one part of it how they had to keep moving along, and they got all the iron out of one area, and they had to move over to the forest to get more of the iron to keep going.
Oh, just like how humans are basically a virus? Is what we do. We go to an area, strip it dry, and then move to the next one.
Yeah.
This whole movie has that kind of feel to
it. That's why I didn't like it. I mean, it's less... It's more nuanced the time I saw it this time rather than when I first saw it. But I'm like, oh, God, the last thing we need is another Humans Bad movie. Because what the fuck can
But we are.
Yeah.
The problem is with this movie, it kind of shows that it's not... Because, okay, if we're watching, like, Totoro or even, like, Nausicaa, you're getting, with Nausicaa specifically, you're getting the whole humans bad, like, the earth, this is why the earth is broken, humans bad. In this one, it focuses more on not just humans bad for the earth, but humans are bad for each other.
Yeah, I do get that. The
ladies were a good team.
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
They're funny as hell.
Oh, they're great. This is the best part of this movie.
Individual people can be good, but people in general suck.
Well, at least in this, the people in power.
Yeah.
Because the people in power are making these decisions that are not really helping anyone.
I'm saying, what's the line from Men in Black? Like, a person is smart, people are dumb, dangerous, panicky animals, and you know what?
Yeah, that's just it.
Yeah. And there's the others, too, like, you know, with Minnie Driver playing Lady Eboshi, who delivered some of those lines that, you know, kind of to me, kind of like, I'm like, okay, she's, which I guess was played correctly because the guy questioned it a lot of it. I'm like, oh, she's evil?
Is she evil?
Yeah.
There was a lot of nuance to the different characters. I mean,
gray. This movie is very gray.
Except for Billy Bob Thornton, because if he's voicing or playing a character, he's guaranteed.
Was that the drunk-looking supposed monk?
Yes.
I called him Drunk Monk because his nose is bright red.
Yes.
That was him, Master G. Something like that. Something with a J, I'm pretty sure.
Jigo.
He was
Jigo. Oh, Jigo. Jigo.
Yeah, he was pretty much evil from the get-go, because it's Billy Bob Thornton, he can't not be.
He can't be a good guy.
No.
I don't know, Lady Eboshi, I feel like she could have had more nuance. Like, at first it seems like, okay, maybe, but then she's kind of said some mustache-twirling things about taking over the world, and I'm going to destroy the whole forest.
That's colonialism, that's imperialism, that's the, I am owed this, so I'm going to take this. But she's nuanced in that she's also a decent person. She saved all those women from having to work in brothels.
She doesn't trust men at
all. She's giving the lepers, like, treatment and things to do, like, to be, like, useful, to be productive.
Of society.
Instead of just being, like, thrown aside. She has nuance.
Yeah,
I still don't like her, because I don't like imperialism.
Right.
But the character did do some good things.
I think...
Just the nuance.
I think that's kind of the brilliance of it, though. It's because people are not just one section of something.
Yeah, that's what got me. That's why it was such a good character, too.
Well, I felt it would have... Well, for one thing, I kind of questioned whether she was altruistic about helping these people, or if she knew they would cling to her because she saved them, and if she was manipulating them.
Well, that's entirely possible, but at the end of the day, they're still in a better situation.
Yeah,
than they
exactly.
Were.
But I feel like what could have made her less at times mustache twirly is if she made a counterpoint that they need this.
Right. It wasn't just for power.
I'm not just destroying the forest for lulz. We need this to survive or something. Right.
I think what they were trying to suggest with her is that everything is a means to an end for her.
Mm-hmm.
So getting the mountain specifically to get the iron.
Yeah.
Is a means to end, not just to prosper where she is, but to be in charge, because obviously everybody else who's in charge is an idiot. And in her own head, she's the smartest person. She's the one who deserves the power. Therefore, she's going to take it. And that's how I took her care.
Yeah.
Is
very good point.
She feels that men are idiots.
Yeah.
She flat out says, do not trust men. Flat out.
Yeah.
So she's obviously been through something.
Right.
Be it maybe she was another part of the brothel. Maybe she was sold into slavery. We don't know her backstory. Not really.
Right.
We're not told specifics. But obviously she's been through something where she doesn't trust men. She knows that women are powerful.
So why does she have the those dudes hanging around.
Because regardless of what how you feel about them, men are, most of the time, physically stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why she was, that's why she had them as the warriors, not just that.
Like, yeah,
she was given
thugs,
them.
Not advisors.
Yeah, she was given them.
Yeah,
by
it's
the,
just the hired help.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She was, yeah, from the emperor. That's why they're there.
Well, yeah, I forgot there's an emperor.
Yeah, he basically, she made a deal with the emperor, and the emperor gave her manpower.
Yeah.
So that's why those guys are there, is because they're hired help.
Yeah.
Was the deal exclusively about getting Forest Spirit Ted?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know if
it's mentioned,
it was related to the iron.
It's mentioned very, very quickly at the beginning.
I was
going to
say, because
it's... The emperor said he'll pay somebody, I think it was like 1 billion gold or something like that, if they could find the potion of immortality or something that would keep him immortal. And it's said as a throwaway line.
And something about the head of the forest spirit can make you...
There's a legend that the head of the forest spirit will be able to make you immortal.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just try Mercury? Well, I think that was like a Chinese emperor who thought drinking mercury would make him live forever. Oops, you're dead.
Whoops, I didn't know that, really.
But you leave a shiny corpse.
Yeah.
Dang,
it's,
man.
It's the reason why you'll...
Or is it a blue corpse?
Funnily mercury enough, next blue? Week's movie has to do with hats. So that just makes me laugh.
Really?
Do you get the whole thing that they used to mold hats with mercury?
They did?
Yes, that's how
Mad
Hatter.
Mad Hatter.
It would seep into their
blood
and drive them crazy.
And
haberdashers tended to go mad.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why when you said Mercury, it made me think Howl's Moving Castle, because she's a Hatter. And then,
she's a Hatter, and then things happen, and she might be crazy. I don't know.
Damn.
No.
Damn.
Sophie, the only reason Sophie's crazy is because Howl drove her there.
Yeah.
But we're not going into that right now.
Yeah, no, like, there's some of the beautiful imagery that I remember about this movie, like, you know, when you see the Nightwalker walking around, and the beauty of that, and the forest, and of course, you know, even down to the point where you see the giant boar, you know, barreling down, and I'm like, okay, there's kind of interesting, what is a demon, and then...
There's all the actively squirmy, gross worm things...
Yeah.
Something about that as like a horrifying image bearing down on you. Maybe I saw this when I was a kid, and that's like the main thing that sticks in my head about a terrifying creature is the one that you can't really see properly.
What got me though,
with all the
and what got me though was these are people and animals who became demons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that's a great way to show horror because these people could become evil.
Right.
Or something there. Like, even with, you know, the beginning where you have the demon attack and, you know, where they're heading up to the watchtower to find out where the demon is. And I immediately wanted to have the Jimi Hendrix song in my head. And immediately, if we wouldn't lose the ability to be on a couple of catchers, I would play it right now. You know?
So, well, it wasn't basically the demon kind of like just hate, basically, in a visual form.
Yes. It turned into hate because of the piece of lead that was lodged inside of it.
Yeah.
It basically had a bullet lodged in it. And it turned into
something that could kind of...
Don't lick the lead paint.
Pretty much.
And even with later on, you know, where you have the demon going into the wolf mom and, you know, trying to deal with that, okay? Like, the one of the central themes seems to be, you know, fight death or accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to happen either way.
Right.
Either way, you can prolong the death or just say, all right, you know, it is what it is. It
has a lot to do with hate, too.
Yeah.
It's hate and anger are real big themes in this.
True.
Because every time, what's his name?
Ashitaka.
I wanted to call him Akihiko. Yeah. Dan knows why.
This guy has more of a personality than Akihiko.
Bullshit. Yeah. Bullshit.
Shots fired, Persona fans.
Bullshit. I will fight you.
Shit, what's his name?
I eat broccoli and bland chicken, and I punch things. That is his entire personality.
You haven't met Shinji yet. Okay. You know nothing.
All of the personality went to Shinji.
I Ashitaka is
Ashitaka, yes.
Even though he knows that the... I don't know if it matters if we're going out of order. Even though he gets that demon melty burn that's going to consume him, and I think Lady Boshi's kind of like, why don't you just end it? Or something.
Why don't you cut off the limb?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I... Well, that was a good point.
Because I didn't think about it.
Yes.
But I mean, if he's, even though it's going to kill him, he keeps going because he's representing the side of hope. Like, we could still get along.
Right. He's still, first off, I think at the beginning, he's just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, he wants to get to the, he wants to get to the spirit so it can heal him, I guess.
And he's been in this kind of like sheltered, out in the middle of nowhere, like isolated village. So he's like trying to get used to the,
what the world looks like.
Yeah. He offers like a little gold nugget instead of coin. And like, it's like he doesn't seem to know what coinage is because they just don't have it in his village.
He just knows that this is worth something. So I'm going to see if this is worth it.
Yeah.
And of course, regular Joe Schmo on the streets.
Yeah.
Words are hard.
She's all like, what the hell is this nugget?
Right. What is this?
This isn't money.
And it's like, dumb.
And then it's Jigo that comes around and he's all like, wait a minute. This is really good.
And he's like this corrupt monk who's just
playing. Is he really a monk or did he just say that?
It puts him in the wiki as a monk. Yeah.
Looks like a drunk because his nose is bright red.
I think. I'm not sure 100% on what constitutes a monk in Japan because there are so many different types. So
I can't answer that. Yeah.
Because I know that certain monks can get married and have families.
Yeah.
So that's why they run a shrine most of the time.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Because there are so many, there was a lot of corruption at that time.
Mm.
At least in the time that it was portrayed, so to speak. So, a lot of things that would happen, and this was also in England and many other places before there was really a strong centralized church.
Mm.
Monks
would think that stopped corruption, though.
No. But what would happen is...
Just kind of focused it.
Yeah, right. But what happens was people would say, oh, we are part of this church, and, you know, we build with the society. It's something that you can do today in America.
Mm.
But we build a society and, you know, we have this and there's a shrine, this is our god, and then nobody would really question it. So you tell the local people, oh, I'm the monk that handles the shrine. You have several isolated villages, like, you know, the one that's portrayed early.
Yep.
And, you know, you have this one that they say, oh, I'm a monk. Okay, you have no frame of reference to say anything about that.
It's so, like, if you say so.
Yeah, you know, so like, nobody would really even question it, so... You know, but yeah, Higo is one of my favorites here. Even though he's supposed to be an asshole,
we don't know that yet.
He's ultimately one of those like he's the bad guy, but you kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah,
kind of thing. It's like he's an asshole.
You could kind of tell he was shifty. Like he was definitely shifty.
Yeah, and when you see where they're heading,
he's too eager to follow Ashitaka.
Yeah, he also sees Ashitaka basically own. Like a bunch of samurai, with a bow.
Yeah, with that, and then he's plucking heads off with a bow and arrow.
Gets his monster arms.
So we're cracking jokes. I'm like, damn! If only I had that ability.
Dan just kept going. Like, wait a minute! I thought this was supposed to be anime. Where's the 100% pressurized blood? Like, there's nothing splurting anywhere.
Yeah. Most like ninja anime. So if you see, it's like there's a slice, and then it's just. Pressurized blood in an arc.
There was none of that.
I was like, hey, it's the Oni Note.
Yeah. As the heads just kind of came off, and it was just like, well.
Hey, look, there's those guys' arms. Maybe that's like, that tree. He's still over there, though.
He's got a little ketchup on his armor after his head came off.
Yeah, it was more like a.
Maybe that's why Ashitaka didn't cut his arm off or something. Well, I don't know. I guess he was just hoping to.
I think at that point, he was still hoping to go see the forest spirit so the forest spirit could help him.
Why did his village kick him out? Because he was bad luck now?
It was very superstitious. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to turn into, like, a demon, and therefore you could hurt us. So
if you leave, you're dead to us.
I don't think we gave him a choice.
Our laws don't allow us to watch you leave either.
Yeah.
Except for his sister, who runs out. She's
Tara
like,
Strong for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because you can't have an animated anything without Tara Strong. I think it's like a law of the universe.
That's true. That's true. And when they head out there, they try to find the Great Spirit. The Great Forest Spirit is the deer-like animal god by day and the night walker by night.
Why did it turn into a walking giant thing?
I don't know, but it's
a giant thing made of goo and stars.
Yeah. But during the day, it's a dude bro, and he's great. He's just kind of there. He just looks at you. He's like, so. Anyways.
It's just got permanent derp face.
Yeah. And I love him.
Hey.
Like, hey, guys, what's up? And later on, he ends up getting shot through the head, and his expression doesn't change. His eyes move a little, and he's like, ow.
And then just keeps going.
Yep.
My first thought is it looks like one of those cheap animals you see in the claw machines that have been stuck in the back for a while.
Yeah.
Just kind of having that derp face that's still like, you're alone, like, hey.
It's a platypus.
It's like, this one didn't get sewn together properly, so he's got like a severely wandering sloth from Goonies eye. It's just like, I need him. We must save him.
Yeah. He was created at the end of the shift.
And of course, my immediate reaction goes to a webtoon because that happens in one of them.
Of course it does.
And I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like, why does this thing have to be all unafraid of anything?
Yeah.
Because it's been super chill forever.
Right, yeah.
Why can't everybody get super chill forever?
Yeah. Well, there's probably weed in that forest.
Yeah. Drew.
The forest spirit of the cannabis.
He's licking frogs. He's fine.
I just pictured if it was Snoop Dogg. Judge.
Don't think we're bouncing around.
Leaves and goes. That's okay.
That's fine.
There's leaves and goes to the Waffle House later.
Is there a Waffle House?
The Waffle House. It's the central nexus of realities.
It's gotta be a Waffle House there. And all the samurais spill out and have a fight in the parking lot. Ooh, fantasy casting. Let's see here. You have
the Waffle House?
So, nearby man on a cliffside herd oxen to the home of Irontown, led by Lady Eboshi.
Kind of a stereotypical dumpy mining industrial hellhole.
Yeah.
It's on like a cliff. Ish thing.
Yeah. Could somebody put like a cute little tree here and there just to
She has a garden.
But she's also straight up at war with the forest because the monkey demons keep trying to replant trees and pick them off. It's just like, is that what we're doing to Greenpeace now?
Are there gorillas in Japan?
I don't know.
That was such a weird left turn when they showed up.
He's like, it's Donkey Kong. What are you doing here?
Are there monkeys in Japan?
Yeah.
There's
smaller
like little
primates, yes.
There's
but
like
a
little
about,
snow monkeys.
I don't know about apes.
Yeah.
Because when we saw a clear look at them later, they were gorillas.
They were straight up, gorillas, big old apes.
Yeah, and
Macau. Japanese Macau.
Yeah, those are the smaller ones.
I think that's what they're supposed to be.
What?
But they look straight up like
they
gorillas
do.
At the end.
Well, that's because they're enhanced by evil.
Right.
Were they?
Yes. Their eyes were red. They're basically.
I just thought they were like creepy.
I'm pretty sure that they're enhanced. The whole thing is they're enhanced by hate. Therefore, they're turning demon-esque.
Well, they didn't have red eyes when you saw them clearly later, and those two arguing with the wolves.
We're all doomed.
I think that's what they're supposed to be.
Aren't the monkeys in Japan like cute, tiny things that hang out at? Hot springs
hang out at shrines and steal your purse.
They don't really look that cute.
I don't know. I'm thinking of seeing cartoons.
Hey.
Gino, shush.
They have red faces.
Yeah.
I mean, they do look cute when they're not, growling at you.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of growling monkeys, Gino, come here. Shush. Shush your face.
But they do hang out in hot springs. You're not wrong about that. They do like to hang out in hot springs.
So Lady Boshi's repeals an attack by a wolf-led pack, and the wolf goddess Moro, who was wounded by a gunshot.
The wolf goddess Scully. Yeah.
And
that was very distracting.
Yeah, I just saw that, and I'm like, ooh, like... You know, and then I say with the latest thing we see with Gillian Anderson, I'm like thinking when she was in The Great and, And then the
fucked out a window?
Yeah, the king of Russia had you know,
she got fucked out a window too.
Yeah,
well, I thought that was in Rain.
That's in Rain.
Yeah. No, she's having sex with the king of Russia and just falls out a window.
She got fucked out a window!
Jesus Christ.
This is a theme!
We could do a whole month.
I couldn't.
Now we're examining the scene where she gets fucked clean out a window in extreme detail. We're on frame.
Carpet.
Like frame by frame. Okay.
But yeah, it was distracting because all I could hear is like, I know her.
Yeah, right.
X-Files all
this is scummy.
It seemed inconsistent with the how are we doing the mouth motions on these animals with no
eyes. Oh yeah. Let's back up on that one with the mouth motions. There's sometimes in the mouth motions, didn't you hear that you see like Speed Racer?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you got so much of that thing because you were just trying to match up the lip flaps. We couldn't change the animation all that much.
And you have to be careful too because you want to stay on point for what you're doing in the show or the movie. So you have to make the dialogue at least slightly match.
And that's why a lot of like older anime has weird pauses.
Honestly, yeah.
Strange kind of like
translation and anime and everything else. Guys, I have so much respect for you because, dear God.
Yeah,
she's tried to read some, manhwa using the Bixby search on a phone.
Oh, God.
And it kind of works.
Google Translate.
It tries.
But there are certain things in certain languages, like Korea, for example, doesn't have gender. So you don't know if they're talking about a brother or sister until you get a name. And then webtoon artists really like to use American-esque type names, or at least northern names.
Yeah. It's like I'm pretty sure this Korean princess isn't named
and
Dave.
Nora, and these are boys.
Yeah.
But when you're reading a translation of something and you're just reading a novel of it, you are still not sure. Because they keep switching up pronouns. And again, with the names, half the time I'm like, is this the male lead or is this a side character? What is this? So we're just going to go with that.
But
the wolves and the animals, they don't have lips, so that's... Yeah.
Even Mara looks like she's growling half the time.
I know. I hated the wolves.
What it feels like to me is that the animals aren't necessarily talking in English / Japanese, whatever it is.
Yeah, because they didn't bother with the smaller wolf talking to the.
They're making sounds, but what we're hearing is it translated. They're growling. Ooh. They're snorting. They're doing their animal language.
Yeah,
and we're understanding it because. You know, with Ashitaka, and he understands.
Yeah. Now, San comes in here as the one riding the wolves, a human girl who is a forest goddess.
She's just adopted by...
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, at least someone who denies that she's human, though she clearly... And, you know, she has the form of a human.
She is human.
She's human.
She's denying it because she hates humans. Humans have done nothing but wreck her entire life.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want to be associated with them.
Now, this is my question with this. She's
a self-hating human.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, who ever heard of that?
Yeah, she's Princess Mononoke.
Yes.
Right,
so...
Never called that except in one comment about a legend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
That's right, because it's like, where does the namesake come in here? And I was confused with that.
They call her Princess Mononoke.
But the fact that she is apparently royalty that, like, the parents threw the kid at the wolves as a sacrifice so they could get away. Apparently this was a king and queen that did this.
No, she's known as Princess Mononoke because her mom is, like... a spirit of the forest, so she is the princess, because if mom is queen, she is princess.
Oh, adopted mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's why she's Princess Mononoke, is because mom is queen, therefore she is queen's daughter.
But does Lady... What's her name? Does she know that those details of it?
Yeah, because she's a legend.
Yeah.
She's been in the forest for a very, very, very long time. Like, okay. This is, right. She is not just a 16-year-old girl. She is probably hundreds of years old. She's been there a long time. She's protected by the forest and the magic of the forest.
Which is, okay, so that, good. That explains a lot of it here. And then when you have...
Title drop!
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you have, you know, down below, when you have Ashitaka and San, you know, San and the wolves, they rebuff his greeting, and then he rescues two men who fell from the cliff
mm-hmm.
from earlier, and then we go on a great adventure to return them.
We go through the Forbidden Forest. We
My arm feels better! Oh, no, it's still broken.
I love that part, actually. That part's pretty great. Like... They go into the forest and the Kadama are there and they let them like through and the Kadamas have little legs and butts.
They're Koroks.
And
okay. I don't know. Are they supposed to be cute? Because they're kind of gross.
Yeah.
I got more cute vibes this time when I watched it because the first time I watched it, I thought they were fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
So
like horrible skull faced babies.
Yeah. I
make
was
bug sound.
Yeah, I could see the creepiness of it and like the head shaking
ew.
And things and like I got that. But what was the like? What was the first time you got the like the kind of the icky feeling of that?
The first time I saw the movie.
Okay.
I think I saw him on a T-shirt once, and I'm like, why would you want that? Ew.
Oh, okay.
See, I just saw the misshapen faces, and I'm like, oh, so that's probably where they got the Koroks from Legend of Zelda from.
Mm.
Except those their weird faces are on leaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. And the
something creepy about expressionless things that you don't know what their intentions are.
Right.
Oh God. What were those?
Well, they say the only reason they would show up, they only show up when there's peace. They mentioned that.
Well, I remember Ashitaka saying that he didn't know if they were leading him deeper to get lost or.
Yeah.
To me, they're like fae. Mm. They're mischievous.
I would, yeah. I'd probably go with that. I don't really like them myself.
They kind of remind me of tiny Attack on Titan Titans.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. A little.
Frozen, deformed face thing.
They got a little bit of derp to them, yeah.
Yeah. And when they arrive, they go through the forest. They arrive at Irontown, which is created with fascination. Irontown, a refugee where for outcasts and lepers are employed. To process iron to create firearms such as hand cannons and matchlock muskets. And I loved seeing the muskets.
Mm.
I love the design of of the cannons.
Yeah.
All that like the dragon motif on it and all that. I love that.
My whole for this entire part when they're into Irontown, my favorite part is when he goes to see how the women are working.
Yeah.
And the women start laughing at him.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we do this for 4 hours at a shot. Can you keep up?
Mm.
And it made me go, oh, so you're making fun of the men's stamina.
Right.
that's what that was. It was a complete, like, the men can't keep up with us here.
Yeah.
Do you think you can? And he does. Like, he's not like these guys. So, so they're making fun of men's stamina, and I fucking died.
Although some of them seem to value their husbands.
They do. And it's
you
not
got the
a...
two gun ladies later who are like, the forest killed my husband.
You killed my husband, you bastard.
He might have been an idiot, but he was my idiot.
But that's just it.
And that's what, oh God, what's Jada Pinkett Smith's character?
Oh,
the girl in red.
I loved her. Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck is her name? She's
yeah, got it here. She's Toki.
Toki.
Yeah.
Toki Wartooth.
Yeah.
She's married to the doofy guy that he got saved. Like Koro.
The one who was like, my arm's not broken. Yes, it is.
Oh, no, it's no broken. Ow.
Absolutely. And then when they're in the forest, they have to lay them in the water for a while, which does come up later. And I looked at it, and maybe it's because we've been watching the show Ghost. I made some really crazy jokes in my own head about that.
Well, I started laughing because there's a part of Ranma 1/2, and Ranma 1/2 is like my favorite anime of all time.
The Spring of Drowned Enter.
No, it's not that part. Even though water has a huge part to do with that show.
Yeah.
No, there's actually an arc where there's this the Water of Life. And it's the only thing that makes Akane's cooking actually edible.
It's nothing more than water.
But the Water of Life has the ability to, like, heal things and everything else. So I made the joke initially today, and I'm like, what is this, the water of life? I was the only person in the room who got the joke.
Because I've seen some Ranma, but not all of it.
And so I'm like, what is this, the water of life? And sure enough, it like heals them, or at least he's like, oh, he feels lighter all of a sudden. And I'm like, son of a bitch, it was the water of life. Because I kept going, look at all that moss.
Yeah.
Because moss is a big deal about the water of life. I'm not into it.
What if regenerative water made your cells just not stop, and then oops, you got cancer.
Oops, you've a cured.
Oh, this one we don't have like an evil poison. Just it like, is a giant cancer.
Tetsuo eats Mega Tokyo.
And when he learns the town was built by clear cutting the forest to get the mine to mine the iron, leading to conflicts with Asano, the local
Daimyo,
thank you, here, and the giant boar god named Nago. And Boshi admits that she shot Nago incidentally and turned him into a demon that attacked Ashitaka's village.
She didn't realize she turned him into a demon.
Yeah.
She shot him thinking that, you know, it would kill him or get him out of the way.
Yeah.
And it turned him into a demon. And it's not because the iron is evil, but the intent was.
Right.
And it's
I was seeing it as more the, like, mundanity of the, just like the, what's the word I'm going for here? It's like the stasis that is inherent in iron. Like, you start building with iron, you're not moving it anywhere. Like, wooden villages can be moved, stuff like that. Like,
okay, I guess there's one way of looking at it.
That just burns in a god, which is wild and needs to move.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's...
Burns bad, okay?
Yep.
Well, yeah, but...
Basically, I think opposite Zardoz.
I think it's what turned him into a demon, though, is the hatred and the...
Where do the worms come from?
That those are the demon. That's the demon's manifestation.
I'm not sure there is a real demon. I feel like it's a just... Oh, here's some weird goo. It's a manifestation of hate.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But they're calling it a demon because it's not something. It's not bred with good intentions.
Right.
And
demons are 99% of the time portrayed as evil.
But demons in like Japanese folklore, it's less of a evil thing as it's just a category of critter.
That's
essentially like an oni is not necessarily evil.
Oni is a different thing from a demon. That's more like an ogre or something.
They're all supernatural-esque type spirits.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. But anyway,
Shrek.
She's the reason. She's the one that caused the boar god to lose it, become evil, and infect Ashitaka.
I thought the white one was the chief god of the boars.
There's probably smaller gods as well. He was probably a smaller god because if you look at Princess Mononoke's mom, there are two other wolves there that are also like demigods, smaller gods. They're still guardians of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other types. They're just
Nago was probably
smaller.
One of those.
Like Nago was probably one of the smaller level gods. Probably.
Gotcha.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. I mean,
demigod to a god.
Yeah. So when this gets back to me, I had a suddenly ninjas moment is when Sun infiltrates the town and starts to go after to fight Yaboshi and is bouncing around. Like,
I want to know who died to give her that first cape thing, right?
That's a very
and
good
the,
point.
And
yeah.
the teeth on her necklace.
Well,
it was her dad.
And wolves hunt, so maybe it was some other predator creature. I don't know.
That's also shiny and white.
Yeah, she's wearing a white.
I was talking the fangs, but all right.
Oh yeah.
Good point here. So
she's bouncing around, parkour.
Yeah. And I think like when you see this bounce around there, and they're like, "Okay, shoot her," but shoot where Lady Eboshi's a good point. Shoot her where she falls. So like, she's a god. She'll just go back again. But with all the problems and the commotion, I mean, the fight was actually pretty cool. And, and Son, who is, now he's got to get out of the village and, walking out now using his demon strength to move, to move the fence out of the way.
The gates that...
While being shot.
While being shot,
that
yeah.
only 10 men can move.
Yeah. I'll do that. Like, wait, no, don't do... No, we like you. Nope, stop, fine, I'm out of here. And just like, one of this dumb by like Eminem or something. Like, fuck you, Marty, bye.
What? This was... it. Okay, this whole bit here is like, he's being an absolute, like...
Yeah.
Marty Stu, that's like the male yeah. version of a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
Because he shot through, he can lift the... It's like, okay, this is Clark Kent at yeah. this point.
It's because his arm is super possessed. Or,
yeah.
I don't know, but that kind of makes it a good thing. Sorta.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, it's not so bad. Let's just kind of learn to live with it.
Cursed with awesome?
Yeah.
There's a TV trope. There's blessed with suck and cursed with awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it does, I don't know, whenever there's clean water, doesn't it throb and go crazy and go...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will kill him, so is he using hate for a good purpose? Like, to make change?
I just wanted it to turn into a wind tunnel, let, you know, and he becomes a monk.
Yeah.
His name is Moroku.
Yeah, Moroku's hand was supposed to consume him, too.
Yeah, but he had a rosary hole. Around it.
Oh, okay. But I thought even with that, it was still his fate.
The more he used it,
yeah.
The more he opened.
Yeah.
You ever get freaky with that thing?
Inuyasha!
And,
Inuyasha, where they walked around Japan in circles, because Japan's not that big for...
Inuyasha, by Rumiko Takahashi, same person who did Ranma.
Yep. Weird.
The blah, 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 let's complain about... Let's go... Kikyo this, Kikyo that. She's dead!
Kikyo!
Kikyo is fucking dead, okay? She's dead. She's reanimated as a fucking clay, like, corpse thing. She's fucking dead.
Say Kikyo one more time!
Say Kikyo again. I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker.
But... Yeah, Iron Town.
Yeah, yeah. And with that, when they leave the Iron Town and all this stuff, like, you know, you have, they're out of the village here, and Son awakes, she tries to kill Ashitaka, who's weakened with everything going on.
It's her personality
because
is
he's also been shot.
He's human.
Yeah.
She thinks that he's siding with the humans.
Yes.
He just wants everyone to get along.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, he does side with certain humans
when needed.
He sides with the side he believes is doing the right thing, or at least the less bad thing.
I think I agree with you with that, but then there's the part where it's like she's this forest warrior, really big badass and everything, and he looks up and goes, "You're beautiful." Okay.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly in love with you.
Yeah. Like, suddenly love, and they're like, what the heck happened here?
Yeah, this is, that part was just a little kind of unfortunate.
I'm glad everybody said that, because I looked at it, I sat back, and I'm like, oh, wait
a minute. I mean, I can understand him having the aha moment where she's fighting, and he's watching her, and suddenly he thinks, this chick's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I could see him having that, but we're never shown that, you know? Right. We're never shown, like, a very, even a... slow motion section of him just watching her and like eyes wide or sparkles or some shit.
When he's remembering it when he's laying there.
Like, we don't get that. We just get the whole "you're pretty" and her just being completely fucking shocked about it.
You're pretty.
Well, maybe she's probably not used to that, and maybe
it might be the first compliment she's ever really gotten.
And
true.
Maybe it's that unwanted humanity of hers creeping through.
And he's probably, like I said, he's a really good-looking character. He's supposed to be anyway in this. Mm. Like, he's super handsome. So, attraction is a thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny that. Attraction is a thing, and she probably looked at him and went, you know, he's nice to look at. There's nothing wrong with that.
Probably.
Maybe she's not...
He'll make pretty pups.
Pretty much, yeah.
Maybe it's the first time she's seen a human express something, I don't want to say love, but...
affectionate?
Yes.
Yeah.
That maybe they're capable of more than just hate and destruction.
There's a lot we can dive into. I think it's not till later, though, where when he has the conversation with her mom about, like, don't sacrifice your daughter for your cause. And mom is like, you know, basically, fuck off, get out of here, leave before I eat you.
and he does leave. And then she tells her daughter, oh, that human wanted to share his life with you. Mm. Like, it's later, I think, that when she kind of hits the whole relationship thing with him. That, and she's already, at that point, already having problems with dealing with the fact that he's human. And she's in denial about her own humanity.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we I find it kind of hard to like the wolves. Are we supposed to be like, the wolves are good, humans are bad? Because
the whole point, like I said, this movie is very gray. Whereas you can see the points on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, I completely understand a forest spirit not wanting the forest to be defiled or changed or cut down or burnt or anything. It's their home. It's, you know, it's been peaceful all these years, and then suddenly humans come and everything is chaos and they're losing bits of themselves, and these humans are going after their gods, which will turn animals into nothing but essentially animals, brainless, mindless, according to the gods anyway, mindless creatures who are just prey for humans.
And what about each other? Animals are assholes. Right. They murder each other for sustenance all the time.
Not only that, you also have the conflict that starts right there with the monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Over what to do with certain territory.
They want
to
eat.
They want to eat the human. So the humans basically don't get any help. And then you get the boars coming in.
And they just stamp around all over the place.
Right, and they're just like, we're going to do what we want anyway. So you've got the conflict going on with the forest itself about forest stuff.
Mm.
But it's still like, you know, it started with the humans. But then you have the humans who are trying to survive. Mm,
yeah.
And trying to make people's lives easier and better. And by doing that, unfortunately, they have to make weapons. And by doing that, they have to go to... So you could understand it's like human beings, especially considering we are human. We can kind of understand the wanting to make a better life. And if this is a way to get, you know, money or whatever to sustain things and to make the people around us that we care about better, then you're going to do it.
Right.
So... like I said, this movie's very gray, and it makes you think about, like, how everybody kind of sucks, and yet at the same time, everybody's sort of right. The only thing that the real thing that the humans kind of have going against them are the trying to kill the forest gods.
Right.
Because that is just unnecessary.
Right. I see it as, you know, one of the themes where it got to this point. I'm like, oh, it's the Taoist principle of balance.
Mm.
That there's going to be good, there's going to be evil, but, you know, you have to, when something happens, you have to set the balance again.
Right. One side can't tip too far.
Exactly. And when it does, you have to equate that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to equate that in order to whatever it possibly is. And when I got to this point, it's like, okay, she's going out to, Lady Eboshi, going to set out to kill the forest spirit with Higo. And Lady Eboshi tended to give the god, intends to give the god's head to the emperor, who said, you know, okay, I believe it's going to grant the emperor immortality and return, get protection for everybody else.
Right.
And, he goes, like, okay, I'm going to get my large reward.
Right.
Because it's Billy Bob Thornton. I got to say at this point, I'm like, oh, because he likes the way they talk. You know, it's like, you expect that one to be like, dear kid, you're doing fine here, kid. And, you know, when Nishitaka recovers and finds his way to Irontown, is besieged by the Asano Samurai. The boar clan had been annihilated in battle, and Okoto badly wounded as well. And the men who
Okoto's the blind boar god,
the giant white one with the disgusting eye crust,
and his
and he's
you could see his ribs, and he's voiced by Keith David.
Yeah, he is emaciated as all hell.
Yeah,
you know, here and then.
Why, if he's supposed to be a god, why is he
Well, he's super old. Which means he probably doesn't move much.
But is he starving?
Probably. Mm. He probably doesn't have to eat. He's a god, but at the same time, something needs to sustain him, and he's not getting any.
Yeah. I agree with you here.
We don't delve too far into what these gods actually do and how they actually function, because you don't see the wolves eating.
No.
You know,
because
they're spirits, I'm assuming they may not have to.
They do talk about.
They do comment
about eating the humans.
But it's not they'll make a good meal. It's more of, I eat them, I get rid of them faster.
And, you know, Akira's badly wounded. The men trick him into leading him to the forest spirit by donning the skin of the other boards.
Yep.
And to me, I'm like, oh shit, that is nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Right there.
I assumed it was a bunch of the worms underneath the boar skins. When they said it was people, I'm like, yeah, they're not moving like people, though. And then you see arms come out. It's like, oh, all right. That's boring.
Yeah. And, you know, they try to stop, you know, San tries to stop him, but is swept up, you know, but as his pain corrupts him into a demon.
Stubborn and won't listen.
Yeah.
The boar is also, has been heavily influenced by hate.
Yeah.
At this point. Has basically its entire clan wiped out.
Right.
And is thinking...
Weren't they warned?
What is it?
Weren't they warned that would happen?
Yeah.
And then they did it anyways?
Yeah, because they're stubborn. Because boars are stubborn.
In general tendency, yeah, they are.
Yeah, from what I understand of it, too. Boars are especially wild boar.
They have
one track.
Yeah.
And then of course he can't see; he's blind, so he's going by scent and scent only. And he smells the skins of his dead brethren coming at him, but they're not dead; they're coming back because these are fresh kills. So he believes that the gods have, smiled upon him and brought his people back to life. Which is, sad. Really.
Yeah.
And he won't listen when they're told,
these are humans. They're humans in the skins, and he doesn't want to hear it. And then, like I said, he's being overcome with hate.
Is that where did the worms scramble out somewhere to get him, or just come out of him?
They just came out of him.
Yeah. And this is what made it a little more of a creepy thing for me is, I go through life knowing that, for the most part, everybody has, in my own mind, everybody starts out with genuine good intents and becomes corrupt over time.
If only that were true.
Yeah. Well,
babies and toddlers are just selfish and their undeveloped brains.
Well, that's what I mean. They don't intend to do certain things, a certain way. But I mean, it ends up, it happens. It happens and through environment ways that people turn. So when you see something, and I mean, at the time when I originally saw this, it's like, okay, people are genuinely good for the most part. And then, at that time when I first saw this, we started learning about who Osama bin Laden is. 9/11 happened, many other things. I was a senior in high school and really trying to contemplate all this other stuff, and I'm watching this movie and I'm like, okay, you see these gods and these warrior clans and these people who are generally respected turn into demons. And that's sad to me, is nightmare fuel, is you have these worms coming out of you and I'm like, you can't control it?
No, thank you.
Yeah,
Your body turns to worms after you die anyway.
True, yeah, good point. I didn't put together for that.
I am very, very morbid.
Why didn't they just go for maggots?
Yeah. I think the worms translate visually a lot better.
Plus, maggots are something that I think that...
Even more horrifying.
It would be, but I think this was supposed to give it a...
Supernatural.
Yeah, because maggots would make it look like they're fully undead, whereas this is...
I think it's still technically alive. Yeah, there's still some humanity in there, even though it's a very, very minuscule point.
Can you really say it's humanity when it's an animal?
Humanity, but I mean, you still have
humanity.
Yeah, but you have Ishitaka, who is slowly trying to deal with all this. And I thought this was an interesting theme But they everyone clashes at the pool of the forest spirit. Ishitaka rescues Sen, while the forest spirit euthanizes Moro and Akoto.
Would he rescue Sen from? Isn't this before she gets caught? Is this when she gets
when she gets caught up in the web of stuff
in the worms?
Yeah.
I don't want to turn into a demon.
Yeah.
No.
The fact that she says it, though.
I don't want to be a pirate.
I don't want to.
Yeah, that's a bit on the nose. I mean, I think with your writhing and trying to escape, we could infer that.
Yeah. It's just the way she said it. I don't want to be a demon.
I don't
want
to be a pirate. then when you have, like, the forest spirit show up, it's like, hey, guys.
I was just drinking from this water over here.
Oh, man. And you
I
know
just,
this
like,
stuff
kill
happens.
Things and live, make things live, and then I immediately kill them with my footsteps.
Yeah.
Unthinkingly.
Yeah, or, you know, and then they rescue, and they're here, and as it begins to trend and change it to the Nightwalker.
What does the Nightwalker even do?
Walks around. Walks around in the night.
Yeah.
And fights the Dayman, I suppose.
But yeah, Vigo is stealing the head, and Lady Eboshi goes ahead and takes it, decapitates the knight with the, as it's changing, decapitates the body.
One good shot. Although, why didn't her shot work initially before the change?
Because because they have to show tell exposition quite a bit. They sell it in one good shot. He's a god. One shot's not gonna
take him down.
Yeah.
Two shots.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Not just that, but he's in the process of changing, so there's probably
a little bit of vulnerability.
There because it's in the process of changing
from
one position of God into another.
See, I just love the first shot that just goes through him. His expression barely changes.
His eyes do like. Like separate for a minute though, like oh, and then they come back, like oh yeah, I'm alright.
Thunk, ow.
The expression was, the expression was, this is not righteous.
No, thank
this
you,
is re-
sir.
Yeah.
This is
really
non heinous.
Yeah, this is really harsh in my mellow here. I'm gonna go euthanize those two.
sleepy. Yeah.
Oh no, he killed them both.
Oh no.
And imagine if this was a 50s movie, it'd be like The Blob where
turn into The Blob.
But it would turn into The Blob where they're like talking about stuff off screen while somebody's flashing lights at them.
It shows
a fire.
See, I totally, because you guys haven't seen Howl's Moving Castle yet, but there's a slime scene in it, and I just looked over at Dan and I was like, there's no point in living if I can't be beautiful.
I can't wait for that.
That's not next week. It's the week after. But
I can't wait for that. I want to see what's going on there.
So if this spirit deer dinosaur thing is so mellow, why does it go on a rampage?
Because you took its fucking
head
off.
Yeah, right.
So it shouldn't care about anything.
It cares about its own head.
Yeah.
I care about my head.
I mean, the thing, when the Nightwalker thing still grows and it starts looking around, killing trees with impunity, it's like, you're a selfish asshole.
That's exactly what I was thinking. This spirit god,
you're not better than us,
god, is extremely selfish. Because it doesn't really care too much about what's happening around it by much. If you come up and be like, hey, forest god, can you help save this boy who's been shot? And he's got a curse on him. And the forest god walks over and he's like, I'll take care of the shot, I guess.
Yeah, I got you.
Curse, you're on your own now,
everybody,
bro.
Everybody gets one.
And then, then walks away.
Yeah.
Maybe he needed the curse for strength. Does he still do strength things after with the demon arm?
Yes, he does take a couple more people's heads off.
Right.
Just killing entire sections of forest.
Right, he's just like, And then, wait, you took my head? No, that's my head.
Yeah.
You give my head back, you fuck. And that's when that happens. So,
maybe it's supposed to represent immoral or amoral force of nature, but I don't know. It still makes me be like, fuck you.
I think it's more of don't kill the forest god, because he'll come back at you.
Yeah. It's again.
What does the trees do to the forest god? They kill the trees looking for it. Well, the trees are part of the forest, and therefore it's all his domain.
Yeah, well, that's also the thing is what brought me back to the
imperialistic.
But it brought me back to the Taoist principle of balance. You know, with the head cut off, now everything's in balance, and now that's fair. You know, that's fair game. So somebody who did do it for selfish reasons, saying, okay, get the head. Take it to the Emperor. The Emperor will grant immortality. And possibly in their head, you know, the Emperor will grant me immortality.
Or at least riches beyond my...
Or I'll get a lot of money for this. So, like, that strikes the imbalance out. And then
so we don't have to live in the woods and shit out in the woods. And
yeah.
No, mosquitoes.
We don't. Yeah. The part of the reason why the forest god wasn't really doing anything about it is because it wasn't bothering him that much.
Right.
Like, the minor gods were all pissed off because they're, like, they're encroaching on our territory, where the forest god is, like... This entire thing is my territory.
I'm too powerful to care.
Pretty much, since they're going and only taking part of it, what do I care? I still have mine.
Yeah, what a jerk.
I still got a whole bunch of other stuff, yeah.
That's kind of how the forest god was acting. Like,
I thought we were supposed to kind of side with the forest, like people bad, forest good.
No, this whole movie is about this gray area. It's all gray. The whole movie is gray.
Yeah, and even where it's like Lady Eboshi gets her right arm bit off.
She sort of deserved that.
Yeah. And I really, really wanted to dub in Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the Black Knight.
It's just a flesh wound.
It's like, your arm's off. It is not.
No, it's not.
Yes.
I'll bite your legs off.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Somehow, Aki...
Akitasha. I'm not the only one who wanted to call Akihiko.
I wasn't gonna call him that either, but somehow he gets the box back.
Yeah,
with the
chase after the monk. Both him and San, they chase after.
How's the monk? He doesn't look like he moves very fast. And what is with his lifts on his sandals?
Right.
That was just exaggerated. Yeah. I think that's supposed to make him taller.
Yeah, but don't sandals like that usually have two wooden thingies?
Yes.
Yeah.
That looked pretty precarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. But, you know, when they finally get it and San tries to kill Eboshi but is stopped by Ishitage, he consoles her.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, and encourage her to not give up. But the
tell her that the ladies with the guns were vulnerable.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Attacked by Samurai.
Oh yeah, fun parts here where they're like, okay, they're coming up to the town, and there's another thing where like a Holy Grail came out there. They're like, we're gonna take over the town. No, you're not. We're gonna take over. Your mother's a Hempson. Your father Nyx of Eldivinity. Like, look here. You want to do this? Hey, look, we got a gun. Boom.
Now go away before I taunt you a second time. I wave my private arms at your aunties.
Is that why he spared Eboshi, or was it just like, what? Violence begets violence.
I think he spares Eboshi because she is the leader of all the women. Regardless of anything that's been going on, she is their leader, and they will follow her. So it's actually safer for her to be alive for the women over there, because at least they'll listen.
And maybe she can, if she lives to tell the tale, maybe...
Maybe she can change a bit of her ways.
I think that was it, though.
I thought it was interesting that usually, like, in a movie like this, the bad guys would, I don't know, get eaten or fall off a cliff or something. But everybody's...
still alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And... Lady Eboshi does say that she wants to change her ways, so that's good.
Yeah, and I think that's also brings back the theme of balance as well.
Oh, okay, because they give the god its head back, and then it turns into a watery blob and disintegrates on everything.
It disintegrates on everything, but it brings life back to the death that it brought initially.
And then the prince gets cured of his...
They both are, because both him and San at that point have been cursed.
Yeah.
It was all over her body, too.
But Iron Town is burning down.
Doesn't all the greenery grow in it too?
Yeah, the greenery grows all over it, and it's basically a time for change.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, we were questioning, like, what happens now?
Well, he says that he's going to stick around and help Irontown reestablish itself, and he's going to go visit San in the forest. It makes me think that once he's done with Irontown, he's going to go to the forest. That's what it makes me think, that he's just, once he's set there, he's probably going to join her in the forest.
I agree, and it's just, you know, the Boshi,
he's going to go poop in the woods.
Yeah. The Boshi now vowing to build a better town, the forest, as the forest begins to regrow. And, you know, she's the one with the money, too, so that's probably a good help.
Where are they going to get iron from if they have to?
They're probably still going to go to the mountain, but there's no gods there to protect the mountain anymore. Yeah. But the forest will still live on.
Yeah.
For a while.
I mean, can they find an ethical way to get the iron?
No. Yeah. If we're being real truthful here, no. Because all that's going to do is breed pollution. Right. And it's going to kill off a lot of the forest, and they're not going to know what to do with the waste from the iron. There's all sorts of problems. The end. Welcome. Yeah. This is industrialism, guys.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, it seems like a band-aid. Knowing what we know now, it seems like a band-aid on a solution.
Yeah.
You know, with things that went on.
Like, regardless of anything, nature is going to continue. And if humans disappeared tomorrow, nature is going to live on.
Right.
Regardless of anything. Because that's the way the earth and plants and...
Probably an extinction event didn't kill life.
Yeah.
Right.
All the way.
Right.
That was like 99%, I think.
The Earth figures out a way to survive.
Yeah. It will eventually. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of influence with this movie on others as well. I mean, it's a big cultural phenomenon in Japan that really started the trend towards globalism in anime. And James Cameron says Princess Mononoke is an influence on Avatar.
No, really? No.
Yeah, all right, which is one of those sort of like, well,
it's Blue Pocahontas with spaceships.
Yeah, true.
Wasn't South Park Dances with Smurfs?
That works too, yeah.
Yeah. And there are other things. Apparently there was a stage adaptation in 2012.
I know that there's a stage adaptation of Spirited Away, so I'm not surprised.
We found that on a YouTube.
I found that.
Rabbit hole.
Not just on YouTube. It's on HBO Max, guys.
Oh.
If you have HBO Max, all of the Ghibli movies are there right now. And the stage adaptations are on there as well. So,
no kidding.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm actually like...
I wonder if Shen runs face first into the wall in the adaptation, too.
I love anime adaptation in plays. I love it. Yeah. I've watched every single Bleach musical that there are, and there are multiple Bleach musicals.
Ooh, no kidding. There's 72 episodes of them getting off the mountain.
Don't go there.
Delicious filler.
Oh, don't even. As the manga reader, watching the anime, bits of it was very painful for me. Let's just put it that way. Okay?
Sorry, I had to say it.
Oh, God.
I had to say it.
It's not One Piece, okay? Yeah. It's not One Piece. One Piece, which is thousands of episodes. Like, it's not One Piece.
No, you're right.
No, it's just Bleach has thousands of characters.
Excuse me, how many Transformers are there?
Over how many different shows?
I don't care.
Over how many different
and how many seasons of Bleach are there?
75.
My point is, don't go there with me.
Oh, man. So we're going to go ahead and take a little break for ourselves. We'll be right back, and we're going to fantasy casting. Welcome back. Hey, gang. So we just want to add one more thing to this. Be on the lookout with TaberFitness.com, TaberFitness, monkeyfish.com. Some of the changes coming up there very, very, very soon and announce what's coming up. So please, please, please check it out. Hell, I fantasy casting for Princess Mononoke.
The prince is Santa Claus always running, riding Rudolph around with his French bread horns. I'm like, I see them running through the forest. I'm like, run, Rudolph, run, run. Remember that song. There is a song.
Oh, we didn't actually talk about Yakul, did we?
Yeah, no. Not really. No.
Yeah, Yakul was
dead by his side, even though
he's a dog elk.
Sam took his
harness off and said, hey, you're free. You can go now. And he's just like, yeah, I can, but I'm just going to stay here.
I got Stockholm Syndrome. Although apparently she can talk to the animals.
Yes.
And he told her all about the cool stuff the prince did.
He's talking up his bro. Yeah. Like, he's legit, like, Yakul's the wingman in this whole thing. He's like, my bro likes you. Let me tell you some of his good points.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, Santa Claus, what happened to the other reindeer? It's just riding around on Rudolph.
Because I kept looking at him thinking he was an elk and not a reindeer.
Yeah. I know they said red elk, but I don't care. He has a red nose and he's a deer-shaped thing.
It's true.
Who's helping be conveyance for...
And he was wearing a red hat through most of it.
Yeah, right? Kind of pointy?
Right.
He had a little puffball in the end. But then I'm thinking, is the enemy...
Fantasy casting Krampus? David the gnome.
Yes, when I saw those straw hats with the red coats, I'm like, are you like... I'm just thinking David the gnome with extra steps and some sunshading for the head.
Oh, man.
Oh, David the gnome's so sad.
Yeah.
Dark as shit, that shit.
Yeah.
It ends with, and now I must go off to my own death.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everyone.
I had a good life at 300 or whatever.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun. Let's traumatize some kids. It's fine. Like every other 80s cartoon on the planet.
Watership Down.
Yeah.
That freaking...
The Secret of Nim.
Yeah, that shit was terrifying.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean,
I'm California
just,
reasons.
Yeah.
This is creepy looking.
Yeah.
Claymation is creepy looking.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's several others, but I mean, I think one of them I think we mentioned it on mic, but you have this as the cast of Community and you have Princess Dina Noki.
Yes.
I forgot
how we got to that point.
Though. Yeah, I don't remember that much either, but you have that. I'm a part of the forest spirit now, Jeffrey.
I don't know what I
don't know what that was.
It's because when I started watching this movie, the X-Files was on right before it.
Yeah.
And then Gillian Anderson was involved, so I'm like, is this just one big X-Files plot? And the entire time, like, Mulder and Scully show up trying to find out if the forest spirit actually exists.
Yeah.
And like, Mulder picks up the head and he's like, look, it's the head of the forest spirit, and Gillian Anderson's like, that's an elk. Like, you're
Jello.
You're crazy.
Turns into Jello.
Yes.
I think the horns turn into Jello so it can fit in that box.
Yeah.
And they put that in some fluid. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That the head was like in some goop. Oh, and I'm like, did you fucking try to taxiderm that shit? Like,
okay, I thought the horns just melted into that goop.
No, I think they put it in goop like formaldehyde.
Well, I don't know.
To preserve it. It's just gross.
Yeah,
because it was green.
Yeah, and I thought it oozed out of it for some reason.
I didn't think it oozed out of it. I thought that's
disgusting, decomposing, like hot.
Can you imagine? Bitch. Yeah, bringing like the head of a god, but it's decapitated. Do you actually think that thing was gonna stay fresh?
Yeah, right.
No.
And I gotta add one though. I mean, we kind of came up with this one sort of together, but I don't want to steal it on you, but for Higo.
Oh, I was for Jigo. I'm just like, hey, he's short and chubby. Danny DeVito playing like Frank Reynolds.
Well, because he kind of looks like the character Danny DeVito plays in Hercules.
Yeah,
he's a little bit like
What is he? Satyr. He's a satyr.
Yeah.
Philotides. Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the impression I got.
Yeah. I just want to see Danny DeVito trying to balance on them weird-ass sandal things.
Yeah.
Yes!
That would just be hilarious. Yeah. I'm sure his center of gravity is low, so yeah.
Frank Reynolds would totally be down for...
The double-crossing thing. I went ahead and I double-crossed you. You double-crossed a double-cross? Well, I still got ahead and I won.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
would Lady Eboshi be D, but not very good at it?
She's just so fucking bird.
Everybody keeps saying Lady Eboshi, and then I keep thinking Kiyoshi. And then I go back into Avatar. I kept getting Avatar vibes in this. Oh, God. Okay, you guys don't know Avatar The Last Airbender as well as we do.
Yeah.
But there's one point where one of the characters, Sokka, ends up falling in love with a girl who becomes the moon.
Yeah.
And the entire time I'm thinking of Sokka that, like, Akatoshi is Sokka because he falls in love with the girl who's going to be, like, a force spirit.
Yeah.
He's talking to his friends.
Yeah.
And he's like,
my planet needs me.
Yeah. But he's, like, talking to his friends and he's like, my girlfriend's the forced.
Yeah.
And then you have,
That's rough, buddy.
That's rough, buddy. Yeah. It's just completely like indifferent. Like, that sucks, bro.
Oh man,
that's the only thing I got from this.
Yeah.
So would the prince be Charlie and the waitress is Mononoke San?
No, but
she's always running away from him because fuck.
So I gotta go ahead and I gotta save everybody and I gotta try to figure out what I'm doing here. I think we need more blue. I think we need more blue.
We already got the Nightman Dayman jokes out of the way. For the forest thing.
I guess you really can see the forest through the trees.
Oh man. Oh, this is great. I'm great here. Alright, so we're gonna wrap this one here.
And what's next week?
Please.
Next week is Spirited Away.
Spirited Away.
I'm interested.
2001.
It's the greatest 5 seconds of cinema as Sen runs face first into that wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I have seen this.
It's very, very pretty.
Yeah.
The soot sprites are back.
Sprites are back.
And what do you do with a giant baby?
Yeah.
Especially when it poops.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, all right. So, we'll wrap this one up here. As always, it's a pleasure and hopefully entertained you. Be good. Take care of yourself, but don't be too good.